All right, Theory and Theology, what is up? We've got a lot of topics to cover here. I want to talk a bit about social media, censorship and regulation. I guess that's the topic. And let's see, I want to talk about, I've got notes, that's why I'm kind of like, I'm slow, guys. So I do want to talk a little bit about that Senate hearing that came out the other day. I actually watched the whole thing. I hardly watch anything, but I watched that whole hearing. So there was Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, a lot of other names that I don't know, but whoever were the CEOs or CFOs for TikTok, Snapchat, let me see, ooh, I didn't write it down. Those are the major platforms, X, Twitter. I think Zuckerberg has Facebook and Instagram technically, so I don't know if there was something separate there for Instagram. Not that I recall. I think it was just him from Facebook. And then, yeah, it was kind of cool to see the faces of the people, because I only really am familiar with Zuckerberg. I don't really know these other people. Did I say TikTok? So it was TikTok, Snapchat, those were guys. There was a woman for Twitter or X, and then Zuckerberg was there for Facebook, Instagram, or Meta, whatever we're calling. I don't even know what to call it. Let's just use the classic names, because I don't even know. But anyways, I do want to talk a little bit about that. And I also want to talk about censorship in general from my own experience. I think that's the easiest thing to talk about from my own experience. And then kind of get into this. Let's circle back to the conversation about kosher phones. And not really from a religious perspective, but more so how it seems like some people are almost going, kind of preferring to like want to go back in that direction. So when it comes to censorship, my experiences have been weird. I posted yesterday, you know, I have a website that mostly covers digital marketing, and on another podcast, well, I have a podcast connected to that website, and then I have, so it's a digital marketing podcast, basically. And then a digital, like, a podcast where it basically caters towards certain minority groups, but it's kind of talking about, for those groups of people, what kind of jobs can they consider. And I started going into this whole, like, okay, consider, like, digital marketing work or tech work, and like, you know, for, like, potentially less discrimination on some end. There's a little more you can kind of maybe get away with without people having to like see you if you're just kind of working remotely in some of these settings. So, you know, I'm kind of talking to that minority group, you know, because everyone wants to make more money. Everyone wants to, you know, have a convenient way of making money, which remote is very, it kind of opens more doors, because you don't have to have a car, you don't have to have much, you know, you don't have to have more resources. It's kind of like you can, as long as you have Wi-Fi at your home and a quiet place to work with, like, you know, decent connection, you can usually work. And so digital marketing is appealing to certain crowds. So my main digital marketing website I had updated. And in the process of kind of keeping it was a little bit in limbo. I was using this other website with a .GoDaddy sites.com extension to it. And and then my main.com website I was kind of like editing, and then I was like, so I basically had initially posted on both of those, on the minority channel and the digital marketing channel, that hey, I want to, edit my main website, and I know that I've been posting on there, and so let me take it down. The website's called gameandcompute.com, and so it's back up, just for reference if anybody cares. Gameandcompute.com, but basically I have one that's like gameandcompute.godaddysites.com. So I was basically trying to say the GoDaddy sites was the one I was using temporarily. So I posted an episode on both of those podcasts saying, okay, I know I've referred to this site, but for now, use this one. And then I'll let you know when, I publish the main page again, the gameandcompute.com website, once it's published again on that main domain. I will put another episode, just a little blurb saying, hey, it's back. And so I, yesterday evening, I put it back up. And so I just posted a quick, I don't know if how podcasting works on Spotify for podcasters. Usually, what you have to do is have an audio recording. You guys probably noticed that I put a little tune. I use that little tune at the beginning and the end, the intro, outro. Now, that little tune is Spotify's tune. They have this whole area where you can choose like little tunes, and I just choose the same one. I use it for all the podcasts. It's called West. And I just type in West, and I put a segment for West and a segment for West. I always put two segments for West. Whatever the, verbal content is sandwiched in between those two little sound clips, those two little musical tune clips. And it's Spotify's. So I figured, I don't need to say that gameandcompute.com is back up. Why don't I just put that as the heading? Main digital marketing website's back up. That was the title of the episode. And I thought it would be fine just to post that little West, musical audio clip. I thought nothing of it. I was like, okay, the description, I just said, okay, gameandcompute.com is back up. And I put in there, that's the only content for this post. I didn't like say it verbally with my words. All I did was put that little West musical, little segment. And you guys hear it on here too. It's the same one that little tune that posts at the beginning. I don't think I've ever changed it, or maybe I've accidentally put the wrong ones before, or put them in the wrong order or something. But it's the same exact tune that you guys hear on here. So I thought nothing of it. I was like, yeah, it's weird, but I feel like I don't want to talk and just be like, okay, I'm literally just saying websites back up. I'm not providing more valuable content than that. And then why should I have to say it when I wrote it twice, pretty much? Because you have to write a title, you have to write a description. But I guess I didn't know that you have to verbally record in every episode too, because apparently I got flagged last night after I posted this on both of the other podcasts. And then this morning I wake up, check my emails. Sure enough, I see this has been taken down. I can read what it says if you guys are that interested. You might not be interested at all, but let me just read it for those who might be interested. Let me find it first, and then I'll read it to you. They sent me an email on both accounts. They sent me an email So I'm like, okay, at least they're not singling out the other account, because the other minority niche account, I thought they had been singling that one out, because I'll talk about the reason why I think that one was being monitored and singled out. I'll give you an example of that, but this is the most recent example because it just happened. It says 11 hours ago. It says, "Hello. Our automatic review tools determine that your podcast content appears to be in violation of our content policies and have removed the following episodes." That says Game and Compute, that's the name of the show. Digital marketing website is back up. That's the name of the website. That's the name of the title. Then it gives the URL and feed URL information through anchor.fm. And so I look at the link that it says. It says Spotify's policy on submitting music via Spotify for podcasters. Basically, it says that Spotify for podcasters should not be used to distribute music tracks, DJ mixes, or similar musical content. And they reserve the right to remove podcasts that violate this policy, regardless of the licensing status of your music. Now, this is not my music, this is their music. And I was like, I want to battle this. And so there's a contact us, but then it started going into, oh, like put your URL in and like to talk to this person. I'm like, you know what? It's just easier for me to just post it again. And so I just put the verbal audio of like, hey, website's back up, gamingcompute.com, and just posted that. And so that didn't get flagged. But I don't really like this automatic review tool that they use. I'll tell you why. Because I think it is biased. I'll give you an example. So my other example, it's a little bit of an older example. So annoying. I accidentally hit the little mic receiver and it turned off. But I guess the last thing I would say about what I was saying before I actually move on is it said at the bottom of this email that I was reading to you guys, to learn about appeals options, please visit here. The link. Abuse of our processes may restrict your ability to submit requests in the future. Please be advised, Spotify has a policy to terminate in appropriate circumstances the accounts of repeat infringers. Now, I don't want to be labeled as a repeat infringer, especially because this situation is not clearly me posting my DJ music or whatever. I'm literally posting all I posted because I have to have some kind of audio in there. I didn't know I was going to get notified about posting audio content that's, you know, non-verbal audio content when it's their non-verbal audio content. And I posted on all the podcasts at the very beginning and the end. Just the only difference with this was that there was no verbal information attached to that. So I'm like, okay. There's nothing I can really do about that. You know, I'm not getting any kind of like, it doesn't say I'm flagged or whatever. So this is the first one on the Game and Compute podcast. The other minority podcast, that's not what it's called, but the other one in the minority content niche, it is, I think it's getting singled out. Now, you guys know that I remember when I was reading the four agreements and it took me like forever. And you guys know that I was talking about the book, right? And at the very end, you know, I don't remember what the title was, but I was like, end of the four agreements, end of the book of the four agreements, or like conclusion or whatever I wrote as the title. I posted that same title, the same description details, and the same audio content on this podcast here on Theory and Theology, the same exact one as I did on that minority podcast. But it got flagged in the minority podcast and it got taken out. I don't remember the exact details why. It said that I violated something, and then it just gave me like this really lengthy list of like what I had violated. Nothing had to do with copyrights or anything. I don't know what they were saying I had violated. Something about it to them. Let me see if I even have the email. I might not have the email anymore, and if I don't, I'm sorry. That's the wrong. Alright. I don't know if I have the email anymore. Because it was like maybe earlier than September. Let me see. I just don't know. I just don't know. Let me see. Let me see. Alright. I might have deleted it. Yeah, I don't have any other emails that I've kept on here. Unless I look at my trash, I don't know. It might not be that important, but I don't really know what I did is my point. Like, I don't really know. I have nothing in my trash. I have nothing in my trash. And then, yeah, I have nothing in my trash. So, that might have been deleted. Yeah, I think it got deleted. The email account doesn't really have a lot going on. It's all just like connected to Uber. So, anyways, that one wasn't, you know, I don't know. I don't know why that one got flagged and they removed the episode from there, but they didn't remove it from here. And I was like, that's kind of weird to me. Because I've also noticed some shifts on, you know, viewership and everything. Like, these podcasts, I started all of them in, like, 2020. And they were all pretty much thriving. This one's doing pretty well as far as listenership. But that other minority one, for some reason, it's going down. And it's not... I post there more than I post here. I don't post here every single day. And at one point... that site was, you know, it had just as much traction as this site. I think I post more controversial topics on this site than I do on that one, but I think that the minority group I talk about, it's kind of like a population that maybe the government doesn't want me providing resources to them, because that's the whole purpose of that channel, is to provide like job resources and like educational resources, and you know, so people aren't getting like, you know, treaded on basically. It's like a downtrodden minority group, and so I'm basically just posting, you know, information for them to have support, representation, you know their rights and everything like that. I'm not even posting, like, political, religious, like, over here, I'm posting all kinds of stuff about, like, oh, like, what does this say, and is this a conspiracy, and all that, like, that, I feel like that's, I'm a little more surprised that this podcast hasn't gotten flagged more often than the other one. Like, this one, I feel like, you know, they still push it out to the listeners. I feel like that one, they stopped pushing it out to the listeners, because it has resources on it, and because it's helpful. And because it's, you know, helping a minority group that the government is actively pushing policies against, and systemically pushing policies against to keep them down. And I think that's why that one is, I think Spotify is monitoring that podcast. You know, I get that impression that they're making it so it can't succeed. I'm following what the algorithm should push more. The titles aren't even controversial on there. I'm pushing what the algorithm should potentially, you know, I post more on there. It's not always long form content. It's a combination. It's not anything, you know, explicit or anything like that. It's not violating any kind of political things or any rights or anything like that. So I just think, I am pretty sure that over time it has been, they have decreased the ability for it to succeed. And the reason why I say that is because it is not, it at one point was equivalent to the successful podcasts, and then after a while it just started getting way less listeners. Like this podcast here at Theory and Theology probably has almost like six times as much engagement sometimes, and I post over there like every single day almost. So I don't know, maybe posting less might help, or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm off with the algorithm over there. I might have to figure that out. It's very possible that I'm doing something that's not accurate. But I don't know. I can't really, like, I don't really have time to like sit around and like try to figure out all those little things. If they're gonna try to like push me down on there, then you know, I move on and just do other stuff. Like, I'm not getting paid over there at all anyways. Like, I was at one point, now I'm not. Like, I've never violated anything. But yeah, on that one, it did kind of tip me off when I noticed that over here I didn't get penalized for something that I got penalized for over there, and it was the same thing. It almost reminds me of just this side story of when I was in grad school, and they would tell you, okay, like we're gonna decide which classes you can transfer in from, if, you know, because I went to an undergrad university. And they're like, you can transfer a certain amount of units in. And so I had known someone from another university. We had both gone to the same university and both taken the same classes. This friend of mine tells me, oh, I used Dr. whoever's class, like Dr. Brown or whatever. I used Dr. Brown's class to from cognitive science to transfer in these units for like whatever that type of credit was. Let's say it was in science or electives or whatever. And I'm like, okay, we took the same class at the same time in the same year, got the same grade. We're two different people. So I put that on my form. He put it on his form. They approved his, they didn't approve mine. So I go back in and I'm like, why didn't you approve mine? Because I put the same exact thing on mine as he put on his. And they kind of had this, oh, we're sorry, that was a mistake on our end. And I'm kind of like, why is it a mistake? I know that it could be a mistake, but that seems like a pretty big mistake. Especially because we're in the same cohort and we submitted the paperwork within a few days of each other. And I guess they just missed it. And I'm like, well, how are you guys deciding which courses get approved or not approved? Because, you know, me and him went to the same school and we're in the same class. You know, we graduated from that school at the same time. We applied and were, you know, accepted into the same cohort in the grad school program at the same time. So why can't I? Why can't, why, you know, like it wasn't like a big argument. They changed it right away. But, you know, I got a little bit suspicious. I was like, okay, if, like, say I didn't have that scenario where someone else had literally gotten the same thing approved, how would I have been able to kind of argue my case? They would have just been like, no, you have to pay to take this credit, you know? And I'm like, well, why are they doing that to me? Because it's not like these classes were cheap. Like, they're like thousands of dollars, you know? It would have cost me thousands of dollars more to have to take an extra science credit or whatever elective or whatever the credit was. And so, you know, when things like this happen, when it's not equal, you kind of got to ask questions. I mean, they're going to say, oh, it was a mistake. Oh, we missed it. But I'm looking online, going back to what we're talking about with this podcast thing. I'm looking online and I have proof of two podcasts with the same exact content. One of them's getting flagged and seems like it's getting kind of pushed down, and the other one is thriving. So I don't really know. And at one point, they were kind of equally thriving. And now it seems like the other podcast that's kind of trying to support communities in other ways, you know, it's not very political. This podcast is way more political and controversial than the other one. I'm basically providing job support, employment information, financial, like budgeting. It's not even financial help or financial, like, I'm not a financial professional, you know. I'm not providing services or anything, but I'm talking in general how people can kind of get, how this minority group can get their kind of, or these minority groups can kind of get, you know, educated in a way through this podcast or that podcast that they can kind of get themselves out of a hole. And it seems like Spotify doesn't support that, so it's not a big deal right now. I feel like the more I start talking about it, it might become a big deal. But I don't like the idea of their automated systems automatically telling me what I can and cannot post, especially because it's been inaccurate now twice. It's now inaccurately stated that I'm infringing on their rules twice. If a person was reviewing this, you know, I don't think anybody would be like, what you posted is a problem. Like, it's not a problem because I post the same audio clips every single time in every single podcast. Just the only thing I didn't put was words spoken verbally. And so I'm like, okay, all they're looking for is something that's just music only. I'm like, it's your own music, you know? And I use it every time. So I mean, maybe, yeah, it's a few seconds of a tune, and because it's only a tune and there's no verbal information there auditorily recorded, then yeah, it's still breaking the rules, but I feel like it's not fully breaking the rules because they're not understanding this isn't a song, it's their clip, you know. I'm just posting you know, all I did was have to put a sentence in audio, you know. I spoke it, and so now it shouldn't be an issue, but it's like, come on, guys. But all right, so next thing I want to talk about. This Senate hearing against all these social media platforms. Now, I do believe in child protection. They did bring up a lot of good points, but they also did not let these people talk. But they also did call out Zuckerberg, saying that he had made a statement previously that was opposite of what he stated at the hearing. Maybe trying to make himself look better on the camera, perhaps. So I feel like, yeah, they weren't letting them make excuses. They're cracking down this time. Now, I do believe in child protection. I'm not saying that I don't. But the main things that I also want to state are that I'm not talking about the people who get their information stolen or in some kind of trafficking or abusive situation where their information is, or pictures or whatever, or videos or inappropriate content that's basically used to abuse them is being posted. I'm talking about people who, you know, purposely post their own content. or consume content, you know, and there's a lot of parents complaining. And I think, you know, I'd want to appeal to parents. They need to be a lot more strict with their kids with these devices, because these CEOs, these CFOs, they are shady people. They are shady. They care about money. They see all of us users as money. I mean, if you're part of any of these platforms, if you post on there, you kind of notice how there's a lot of unfairness. I've noticed it. LGBT ethnic minorities, if you look at YouTube, their content is not promoted. It's not, you know, equal. They're not equal. Basically, they use algorithms to make inequality. And it seems it's so subtle that it's like something that's almost harder to prove. But you see a lot of creators going to Patreon or other places because they just can't get monetized. Certain platforms are like, oh, you're not gonna get monetized, you know. But sometimes it's like a racial thing. Sometimes, you know, it kind of depends. That there are certain things that are getting screened by these automated systems. There's these automated systems. They screen verbal things. They screen audio, like music, audio. They screen written content, and like I just mentioned, they can delete it for you as quick as you post it. They can decide that you violated something. And this is, I'm talking from a perspective of a person who hasn't been violating anything, and I've still been flagged for reasons that I am suspicious about. So, protecting children is definitely important. But I think outside of those situations where it is coming from someone who's either being trafficked or abused, and they don't have control over it, I feel for those people. I think that is horrible. And I feel like the people who are posting that content without their consent should be, you know, punished for what they're doing is wrong. But I do think also parents need to be a part of this child protection, the child protection where kids are being exposed. Now, I watch this podcast sometimes. I don't know the name of it. I don't know if I'm gonna find the name of it, but it's basically like a Scambaiter podcast where they get money mules. They physically, in person, confront money mules. They basically set up these sting operations. They set up these operations by themselves. They have two types of operations. One of them is to catch the money mules. They have another one to catch child predators. But that one, they don't allow the content to be posted on YouTube, so they take it and they post it on a separate channel. You can access that channel for $1 trial for, I don't know how long the dollar trial lasts. I think like a week or 4 days or something. It's disgusting. I mean, I think it's informative content. I'm glad that they post it. It's educational, and I learned a lot from just watching that. But it's disgusting how often it seems to happen. And I'll talk a bit about that content. But the content you can find on YouTube, basically, there are people who try to make a profit off of picking up and delivering packages. So they're contacted through something like Telegram or WhatsApp or something like that. It's not easily traceable. And these are operations that happen throughout the world. They're like scam operations. So basically, somebody gets scammed somewhere, somehow. There's multiple versions of how the person can get scammed, and I'll talk about that in different episodes, but somebody gets scammed. How does the person who scammed them get the money? Right? Because some of the scams have the person giving their bank information, for example, because they think they're talking to a specific software company that's trying to fix something for them. So they don't know, and they let these people into their computers while they're on the phone with them saying, oh, we need to fix these viruses or whatever. They let them have remote access to their computer. People get into their computer and start messing around, stealing all their stuff, and get into their bank and steal all their money, or they alter what it looks like their account says. And they're like, go withdraw this amount of money. Because they make it look that way, scamming them. So they fake, they type in information using a certain type of, source editor. So it looks like the information on the page is different, but these people don't actually have that extra money in their bank. They go to their bank, they try and withdraw a certain amount of cash. They take the cash. They're supposed to send either cash or buy gift cards, send these gift cards. So these are just some of the types of scams. They're supposed to send thousands of dollars to these people. A lot of it's elderly people being targeted because they're not supposed to, they usually don't know that it's a scam. So they get people take from them, and then they get someone else. They ship a package with all these gift cards or all this cash or whatever. The elderly person ships that package. Now, this person who's scamming them isn't going to give them their address. They're not going to be like, hey, here's my home address. Just ship it right there. Because if they get found out that they're scamming people, the cops could come right there and get them. So they use other countries even. And they say, hey, ship it to this address. It's somewhere in your same country. These people might not even be scamming you from the same country. Ship it to this other address. They have a spot where there's people that are part of these operations. And these elderly people will take a box of cash or gift cards or whatever that they got scammed out of their hard-earned money, thinking that they're getting something fixed or that they're paying someone back from like a fake accidental, like, oh, we deposited too much, so you need to take the difference and go send it back to us as a refund. And they take all that money. Unfortunately, the elderly people send it to somebody, and then they hire other people saying, hey, I'm gonna pay you $100. All you gotta do is go pick up this package here at this address, and then go to this other parking lot at like Target or something and drop it off to this other guy. And then this other guy that the package gets dropped off to supposedly is probably going to take that and ship it or deliver it to the group or the person who is scamming, who was the original person scamming, this elderly person. Like, how can you trace all that, right? So these scam baiters, what they do is they set up an operation where they pretend like they're the person who's going to get that delivery given to them in person. So the person comes, picks up the physical package that that elderly person sent. They're not told what's in it. They're just told, hey, you're doing deliveries. We'll pay you $100 a delivery or whatever. They have to make it sound sweet. But they know they're delivering something wrong. Some of them say, oh, I thought I was delivering drugs. I didn't know I was delivering stolen money from someone else. They take the money or the whatever's at that package, they take it. They're supposed to deliver it to another person. Or they're supposed to pick up a package that they think they're going to deliver. So, either way, these scam baiters set up this operation where they get involved because they find out about some kind of pickup or drop off. And they meet these people in person that are either supposed to drop something off or pick something up from them. They think that the Scambaiters are part of this ring and that they're going to get some kind of payment in the process. You know, they're going to get their share once they deliver it or once they pick it up or whatever it may be. But these are the good guys. The Scambaiters are the good guys. And they basically catch them and they get the police involved sometimes. And sometimes they're even able to get the victims back their money. Sometimes they're not. But these operations are getting bigger. And these people that I watch their content and follow, it's only in LA. They're only in LA doing this. And they have tons and tons of content. It's this big, tall Russian guy, this Jewish dude, and there's a lady on the phone who goes by the name of Chappie. I don't know her real name, but on the phone she goes by the name of Chappie. And she's kind of like on the phone organizing, like between the hotel and like who's gonna drop it off in the lobby and like who's gonna pick this up or whatever. And they catch these people. Questions, they get their ID information, and they don't expose them if the people cooperate and just, you know, but some of them try to run away, some of them try to get away or don't cooperate or don't talk. Because they try to get, okay, where did they get the information from? They try to trace it back. Who's the person who messaged you? They try to get the IP address. Where's that person located? Usually, they don't have all that information, and usually the telegram gets wiped. Terrible stuff, guys. Terrible stuff. So that's one version. Another version is with these child predators. You know, there's this adult woman who pretends to be underage texting, and there's these creeper men that are adults who think they're talking to like a 12 or 13 year old coming over to the house when they say, "Oh, my parents aren't home." Some of them take showers, some of them bring, you know, like alcohol. They think they're gonna hang out and they have proof of messages that have sexual content that they're trying to, you know, get very inappropriately involved with this underage teen. And it's disgusting. And they're not even allowed to post about awareness about this. But a lot of these platforms, like Facebook and Snapchat, are being used by these child predators. And Facebook and chat, Snapchat know this, and they haven't been quickly cracking down on it. They even tried to make case studies where they're like, okay, this is very inappropriate. Why can't you take it down? And it took a while for some of the content that was inappropriate to get taken down. And it's just problematic. And, you know, I don't think 12, 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds should be able to be talking to people who are adults. I've even seen it on Kick. There's this guy on Kick, I think his name is like Ugly Channel or something like that. He's on YouTube as well. He's not, I don't know if there's anything wrong with him. I don't think so. He seems to be more like quickly exposing people. But basically, he goes on this other Omegle where you can just swipe and people are on there. And you can click, you can turn it off or turn it on. Like when you see the person, when you swipe, you can even decide to start talking or engaging with them by video chat. And I've watched him live swiping, swiping, swiping. He's an adult male and he's just trying to like chat with women. He puts 18 and over. And just watching him live swiping on there, he always asks, "Are you 18 or over?" And a lot of times those they're young girls and they will click off and be like, "No, because they're not 18 or over." And there's kids, there's young teen kids on this app. They're on there. Like he live, he's not doing anything with them. He'll turn it off or they'll turn it off, but he always tries to confirm somebody's age. And more than half of the people he swipes on should not even legally be on that app. It's not for kids. And I know you don't even have to be 18 or over to be on Instagram. A lot of these profiles, I don't know if they have a method of checking. They probably should have a method of checking, and then, unless you're maybe like family members or something, you probably shouldn't be interacting with certain age ranges if you're an adult. There's no reason that you should really be talking to strangers that are kids, Like, I would understand if it's like tech support or like some educational tool or something, but it's like, some of these people take it too far. But also, some of the parents, the guardians, aren't either aware of it or they're not, more involved with the child locking and child protection where they can see what their kid is looking at. Because, I'm not blaming a victim and saying, oh, it's all the kids' fault. I mean, some of these kids are on apps that they should not be on. They know they're on there and they should not be on there talking to adults. Now, I'm not saying it's their fault if something bad happens, but I am saying that they're in places that they shouldn't be, and it doesn't sound like the adults in their life are aware of this or care. So that's also a problem in and of itself, that they're able to easily get onto these sites that they shouldn't be on. And not everybody's going to be as nice as this guy with that ugly podcast or whatever the name of it is. Like, not everybody's going to be nice like him and just be like, "Ha, I called you out," and like click off of it. There's creepers that are going to be creeping and being dirty on there, And it's crazy. It's just crazy to me. The people need to be aware of what their kids are looking at and how easy it is for them to just make an account and be talking to all kinds of people. And at the rate that it seems like these predators are out there, it's not possible to catch them all. I don't know how big the task forces are of the people who, work for like, the police. I mean, when I worked in mental health, I communicated with child protection. It takes forever to get through those lines sometimes. People say, in like people who try to work in the world of like catching these predators, they have a lot of mental toll taken on them, emotional toll. Just think about having that job. How rough of a job that would be to be just all day you're exposed to seeing what's happening to kids, and trying to protect them and trying to like, get them help or whatever your role is. Like there's got to be high turnover in those jobs. It can't be easy, So I don't really know. I think a lot needs to happen. Now, when it comes to kosher phones, circling back to that conversation, now they are expensive, but I think that they need to bring back some version of a protected phone for kids. If you're gonna be on a phone and you're not 18 years old, you should not have a phone that can give you full access. I mean, kosher phones already don't give you access to like hardly anything. But I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be hard for these tech geniuses to make a phone or a version of a phone that unless you're 18 with a proof of ID, you can't use all these apps. It won't even let you make an account because you have a phone that hasn't been set up to be able to make that account. And those kind of adults can't even be on these accounts because they're protected. The kids would be protected on a full device that's set up for that. I don't see how it would be that hard to make a whole device where when you're 18 years old and you have proper identification, all you'd have to do is load that to your phone, and now you have a full access phone. But until then, you don't have a full access phone. That would make it so you don't have to buy a separate phone, and it would make it so that you have access to what you need. Only what you need as a kid. You know, because I'm not the kind of person that thinks, you know, take all the technology away, because in today's day and age, you don't want to be left behind, you know, not able, like, it would probably limit you with most schooling and career opportunities if you don't know how to use the phone or the internet very well. You have to be pretty tech savvy. Most of the time, it would work in your favor. So, you know, exposure to updated versions of things is a benefit. Knowing how to use social media and what that looks like and everything. But maybe social media needs to make a younger version for these youth, and maybe these iPhones and Androids and all these phones and devices need to make a child-protected device that can't bypass a child-protected system that's built within these apps. It needs to be stronger because not every parent is gonna, you know, like even if they did have a phone for kids, I don't even know if that works, but even if they did have one, not every parent is gonna be like, okay, like, I'm gonna buy you a second phone, like, once you're older, you know. Get them something age appropriate. Get them an age appropriate phone. Make an age appropriate phone so that they don't have full access. You know, these kids aren't making, you know, good decisions. They're already not making good decisions on their own. They're not making good decisions. They're really not making good decisions on their own. And just this one guy on Kick, just watching his content, I'm able to see that he's not making good decisions. They're not making good decisions. Because he's swiping around and they're all on there. And they know they shouldn't be on there because it says you have to be 18 and older to make an account. So why are there 13-year-olds on there? Where adult men can talk to them. Why are they even on there in the first place? With their friends. They're on there with their friends, chilling in the bedroom with their friends, two or three friends sitting on the couch. They're all made up with their little makeup and their hair and stuff. Like, hi, how are you? And the guy asks you, like, are you 18? And then they just get scared and, you know, click off of the screen. Or he, if they don't confirm that they're 18, he just won't talk to them anymore. And it's like, I mean, he's doing the right thing, you know, but not everybody's gonna do the right thing. And I don't know this guy, so I can't say for sure, but I mean, it's also not his fault that they're on there. He's not even trying to talk to them. You know, he's just trying to like make content and talk to whoever. If I can find his link, I'll post it below. I don't know the exact name, but it's like Ugly something. But why can't they make it stronger? They don't make it stronger because they don't want to make it stronger. Because it would limit for them. If you can think of how many underage kids are inappropriately using certain apps that they're not supposed to be on, there's probably a lot of them on there. You know? There's a lot of them, I'm pretty sure. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't be allowed to upload or shouldn't be allowed to be on there, but there should be some kind of protective measure where they can't pass a certain barrier and other adults can't pass into their world. They can't contact them. They can't message them. You know, unless you have permission, maybe from your parent that has to log in and say, yes, I want you to talk to that adult. you get an alert on your parents' phone that says, like, oh, that's Uncle Bobby Smith. Like, sure, yeah, you can talk to your nephew, versus like some weird person. They're like, we don't know who this is who's trying to email you. You know, why can't there be a phone that even like alerts to that? Like a whole phone that just has like a chip in it that does that, you know? And then that chip gets deactivated when you're 18 years old. I mean, everything can be hacked, of course, but why don't they make that? You know? I don't feel like it would be hard. You know, I feel like I should try to hire somebody to make it. It's like, it wouldn't be that hard. But I mean, I like the idea of kosher phones. One guy was saying on Free Device L's channel that it's interesting with kosher phones because the people on there with the kosher phones, the people on the kosher phone, sometimes they're always on their phone because they're listening to like some radio broadcast or something. And so you'll still see them like listening to stuff all the time, just like everybody else is like on Instagram and scrolling online. They have a flip phone, but they're like listening to like some dial-in like radio broadcast. So it's kind of still an issue. It's just a different kind of issue. But most of that kind of content is gonna be from through their religion. It's not usually gonna be. I mean, I'm not gonna say that religions can't make harmful content, because they can, but I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. There are people with bad intentions out there. I think these platforms need to stop flagging people that aren't doing anything wrong, and they need to actually put their time and money and efforts and energy into catching the bad guys. You know? Not, you know, making content creators who are just trying to educate and provide value, making them, you know, why do we have to jump through the hoops? You know? Like, why are we jumping through hoops with our content? But there's, you know, people who are doing bad things, illegal things out there, and you're not even worried about taking them off the platforms. They're just lurking around, like bothering people's children, you know, making people, you know, emotionally unstable to a point that they don't even want to live. You know, that's the worst. That's the worst. You know, these are some sick people, you know? And, you know, this is where, you know, I'm not going to open this conversation here, but this is where those conversations about terror threat comes in. Online terror. Online cyber, you know, cyber terror. Terrorism. Cyber terrorism. I don't even know what the word is. But other countries can be, you know, TikTok is being looked at saying, how come all these kids can't get positive content? It's all like this negative stuff. And I ask myself the same question. That's why I don't have Netflix anymore. I'm like, why are all these movies so like stressful? You know? And I came to an awareness of it where I was like, you know, this doesn't benefit me at all. I want to pay $20-something for Netflix every month to be exposed to all that. You know? Other than stand-up comedy, I could hardly ever find anything that was funny or fun or interesting, you know, or thought-provoking. It was all just these. You know, I think Joker was the last movie I watched on there. That is not a happy movie. It's so dark. Like, everything on there is just so dark. You gotta protect your minds, guys. You only get one of them. You know, we don't have Neuralink yet. We can't redo it. You get one mind. Don't screw it up. If you can help to not screw it up, other people are gonna try to screw it up for you. Don't screw it up on your own. So I'm gonna post a link to that Senate hearing. I'm gonna try to post that guy from Kick. And if I find those scam baiting people, I'll try to post one of their links so that you can be informed and you can see kind of what's out there, you know? You can educate yourself about it. And if you have kids, you can find a way to make sure that they're not running around on websites that they shouldn't be on. I mean, that would be the first way to protect them, is to make sure you know who they're talking to. Get involved. Tell them, like, hey, I can see who you text. I can see who you message. There is a privacy thing too, and I know that's important too, but I mean, you gotta take some kind of precaution. So, all right. And that's it for this episode. Hopefully it's helpful.
You know, man.